Welcome to the deep dive, where we cut through the noise for the really potent insights. Today, we're tackling something everyone experiences, something just utterly strange. Dreams, you know those moments, right? Flying maybe effortlessly over a city you somehow know, or having this really vivid chat with a loved one who's passed on. They can feel, I don't know, more real, almost more potent than our waking lives sometimes. This feeling like you've stepped into some kind of simultaneous reality.
Oh,
fascinated people forever.
For millennia, yeah. It really gets to a fundamental question. Are these nightly dramas just, you know, random brain firings while we rest?
Or are they something more, like the ancient traditions believed? A gateway, maybe?
Exactly. A doorway to alternate realities, maybe hidden knowledge, or even perhaps higher states of awareness. It's truly one of the most captivating questions, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And it touches our deepest ideas about what reality even is. So our deep dive today, we'll start with the science, neuroscience, psychology.
The empirical stuff.
Right. Then we'll sort of venture into that puzzling area of shared experiences, people dreaming the same thing.
Which is wild.
Totally. Then we'll look at the timeless wisdom, you know, ancient spiritual traditions. And finally, we'll touch on the really speculative frontiers, quantum mechanics, multiverse theory.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. The aim is to try and connect these, well, seemingly disparate worlds, pull out the key insights, the surprising facts, give you a really well-informed shortcut on this whole fascinating topic.
Absolutely. And we're not just listing perspectives, right? We want to see what they can teach us about reality itself. Okay, let's unpack this. So starting with modern science, we used to think sleep was like quiet time for the brain, inactive. But that's completely wrong, isn't it?
Oh, completely, yeah. It's buzzing with activity, especially during dreaming.
So what's actually going on up there when we're lost in a dream?
Well, dreaming is anything but passive. It's really actively driven by significant brain activation. Your brain enters this unique state. Think of it as a shift, right? Less of the slow, deep brain waves and more of the rapid, quick ones. And that's what allows for those vivid, complex stories we experience. Research has pinned down broadly two main brain systems involved. There's one towards the front, the anterior system, crucial for building those mental images, the narratives.
Okay.
If that area gets damaged, people often stop dreaming entirely. Then there's another network further back, more posterior, that handles the visual imagery, the sensations, all that rich detail. Yeah, and it's a central puzzle for neuroscientists. How does the brain create these incredibly intricate, internally generated worlds when it's essentially cut off from, you know, what's coming in from the outside?
Your senses.
It's amazing. Just conjuring realities from within. And I know our waking lives often sort of bleed into our dreams. What's the science behind that connection? Is there a term for it?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. It's really fascinating how linked they are. The continuity hypothesis is probably one of the most established ideas here. It shows that our thoughts, our concerns, especially emotionally intense stuff from the day, they just keep going, reflected in our dreams.
Makes sense.
We often see recent memories, maybe from the day before or 2 days before, pop up. That's called the day residue effect.
Day residue, okay.
But then there's also this other thing, the dream lag effect. That's where events from maybe 5 to 7 days ago show up, particularly in REM sleep.
A week later.
Yeah. And this has led researchers to think dreaming is a really crucial part of what they call offline memory consolidation.
Offline memory consolidation. So like filing things away.
Essentially, yeah. Your brain is processing new memories, sorting them, filing them, integrating them into your existing knowledge base. It's not just passive storage.
But it's not like a neat replay, is it? My dreams are often totally bizarre, fragmented, just nonsensical. Is that just noise or is there a reason for the chaos?
That's a great question. And no, it's probably not just noise. The current thinking is that the mind purposefully fragments those memories.
Purposefully? Why?
Well, the goal isn't just to store the information exactly as it happened. It's more about extracting the important emotional content.
The feelings.
Exactly. And then creating novel stories or connections between different bits of information. This deliberate reorganization, the shuffling, that's what accounts for the often bizarre, illogical nature of dreams. You know, where a familiar person might show up in a totally weird, unexpected context.
Right, like my old boss serving me coffee on the moon.
Precisely. It's like your brain is running simulations, trying out new ways to link information, testing connections.
Okay, that makes the weirdness make more sense. But if the brain is so active with memory stuff during REM sleep, why do most dreams just vanish? Poof. Gone when you wake up. This dream amnesia feels like another puzzle.
It absolutely is a paradox. You've got these memory circuits buzzing, highly active during REM, yet most dreams forgotten almost instantly.
So why? Any theories?
Well, there are a few. Some theories suggest it could be because certain brain areas, like the part involved in logical processing and short-term memory, the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, are less active during dreaming. Hobson's AIM model points to this.
Okay.
Others, coming from a more psychodynamic angle, might suggest a form of active repression, though that's harder to prove neurologically. But whatever the reason, it just highlights how, I guess, unique and fragile the dream state really is.
Fragile, yeah. Speaking of unique states, let's talk lucid dreaming. That incredible feeling when you suddenly realize, hey, I'm dreaming inside the dream. What's happening in the brain when that switch flips?
Lucid dreaming is definitely distinctive. What's fascinating is that brain areas normally kind of quiet during REM sleep, especially those frontal regions we just mentioned, the ones involved in logical thinking, self-awareness. They actually light up. They become engaged.
So parts of the waking brain switch on.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is accompanied by an uptick in high-frequency brain waves, gamma waves, the kind we usually see when we're awake and focused. It signals this partial awakening of consciousness within the dream state itself.
Wow. So you're partially awake, but still dreaming? Sounds like a superpower. But I have heard whispers that maybe there's a downside, a cost to the state. Is it always a good thing?
That is such a crucial point. While it's widely celebrated and it feels amazing, some research does suggest this unnatural state where your brain is kind of operating in two modes at once.
Yeah.
It might actually disrupt the natural sleep processes. Those processes are vital for rest, for neural restoration. Mm. So constantly pushing for lucidity, trying to control the dream, it could potentially lead to things like chronic exhaustion.
Really?
Think about it. Your logical prefrontal cortex, which usually gets a break during REM, is suddenly active, trying to manage the dream's emotional flow. This might interfere with the amygdala and hippocampus doing their natural unconscious work of processing stress, maybe even trauma.
So you could be blocking the healing process.
Potentially. You might end up accumulating emotional tension over time rather than resolving it. It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? Is this state everyone's chasing a true doorway to insight? Or is it more like forcing open a door that bypasses some really important natural restorative functions?
That puts a whole new spin on it. It makes you reconsider just letting sleep do its thing.
Okay, now, shifting gears a bit. If dreams are purely personal, just my brain doing its thing, then the whole idea of shared dreams, that really throws a wrench in the works. Are there actual accounts of people having the same dream? What's the evidence like?
It is an enigma, for sure. And you're right, mainstream science hasn't produced, you know, widely replicable lab results on this. It's tricky to study.
Right.
But anecdotally, there are literally thousands of well-documented accounts. Just tons of stories.
Probably thousands.
Yeah. And the most compelling reports, the ones that make you go, often come from people in really close relationships. Spouses, twins, family members, even therapists and their clients.
People with a strong connection. Exactly. But sometimes even strangers. Imagine meeting someone randomly and discovering you both dreamt about, I don't know, a specific weird image, like a three-legged dog singing opera on the same night. It's truly mind-bending to consider.
That sounds like something out of, sci-fi. How seriously can we take these reports? Especially if the details aren't exactly identical. Doesn't that weaken the case?
Well, interestingly, maybe not. What's fascinating here is that the spontaneous discovery often boosts confidence. You know, one person starts describing it maybe hesitantly, and the other person's eyes go wide and they jump in with, wait, I dreamt that too.
Ah, the shared realization.
Right. And the fact that the recalled details aren't always perfectly identical, that there are minor variations, paradoxically, that can actually reinforce credibility.
That was so.
Because that's exactly what you'd expect. Think about recalling any shared waking event with someone. You'll both remember the core thing, but your individual perspectives, your memory, your mood at the time of recall, it all leads to slight differences. Perfect identical recall would almost be more suspicious, you know?
That's a really good point. Okay, so if it's not just coincidence piled on coincidence, what are the proposed explanations? How could this even happen?
Well, one idea comes from fields like parapsychology. They talk about concepts like a family unconscious or a kind of collective field.
Okay, tell me more.
The theory suggests that individuals who are deeply interconnected, strong emotions, shared history, might be part of this shifting, interconnected field of energy, a field that doesn't necessarily obey our usual rules of space and time.
Like a psychic connection.
Sort of. The idea is that in the dream state, our normal psychological boundaries, our sense of separateness, might become more permeable, fluid. And this could allow for telepathic communication or maybe access to this shared emotional field between those connected individuals.
So the doorway isn't out there, it's an inner one, activated by emotional connection. Our minds are less like isolated islands, more like a connected continent of experiences.
That's a great way to put it. And it really echoes what many ancient cultures seem to understand intuitively, doesn't it? For them, dreams weren't just footnotes to waking life.
No, they were central, right? Primary ways of connecting.
Absolutely. They saw dreams as primary means of connecting with a reality or realities beyond the purely material. Take shamanic journeying. It's one of the oldest spiritual practices we know of.
Right. Drumming in altered states.
Exactly. Shamans operate from the belief that our everyday waking world is just a tiny sliver, a very small part of all possible reality. They use tools like a drum or rattle a sonic driver to intentionally enter an altered dreamlike state.
But they're awake. Or sort of.
They're consciously directing the experience. They travel in this state to what they call other worlds to interact with spirits, ancestors, power animals, usually for a specific purpose, seeking healing, guidance, information for their community. And crucially, these experiences, they're considered entirely real and deeply impactful.
Not just symbolic.
Real. Real journeys, real interactions, real knowledge brought back.
Okay. And what about the Aboriginal concept of dreaming? That sounds similar but also different.
It is profound. Aboriginal philosophy sees dreaming, or the dream time, not as some dusty historical past, but as a continuous, timeless reality that's always present. It's there with them right now.
Wow. So not I had a dream, but I am in the dreaming.
In a sense, yes. It's the foundational, ongoing creation story. Past, present, future all coexist within it. The ancestral spirits, they didn't just create the landscape and then leave. They became the landscape. They live within its features, the rocks, the rivers, the water holes.
So the land itself is sacred, alive.
Deeply. And these dreamings, the stories, the art, the ceremonies passed down, they provide individuals with their identity, their connection to country, and the rules for living, for relationships with the land and each other. It's all interconnected.
That's incredible. Beyond shamanism and Aboriginal dreaming, are there other major ancient traditions that placed such importance on dreams?
Oh, definitely. We see it across cultures. Think about Tibetan dream yoga.
Right, Buddhism.
Yes. And the ultimate goal there is incredibly profound. It's about waking up to the clear awareness that is our fundamental nature.
So enlightenment, essentially.
Ultimately, yes. And lucid dreaming in this tradition isn't the final goal itself. It's a powerful tool on the path.
A tool for what?
A tool for recognizing the illusory, dreamlike nature of all experience, including waking life. The practice is often a 24-hour cycle. During the day, practitioners train their minds, maybe by repeatedly asking themselves, is this a dream? Trying to cultivate that awareness constantly.
Training the mind to question reality.
Exactly. So that when they are dreaming, that habit kicks in and they achieve lucidity. The aim then is to use the freedom and flexibility of the dream state to work with the mind, to transform mental habits, dissolve rigid boundaries of identity, and ultimately to maintain awareness even during deep dreamless sleep or even through the process of death and rebirth.
Maintaining awareness through death. That's huge.
It's a very advanced practice. And then you have something like the Greek temple incubation, which is fascinating.
Temple incubation, like sleeping in a temple.
Pretty much. It was a form of, well, you could almost call it dream psychotherapy. People who were ill or seeking guidance would travel to sanctuaries dedicated to Asclepius, the god of medicine.
Okay.
They perform rituals, maybe purification rites, make offerings, and then they would sleep within the sacred grounds, often in a special chamber. The hope was that the god himself, or perhaps a priest acting as his intermediary, would appear to them in a dream.
And give them advice. Or heal them.
Exactly. Provide a diagnosis, suggest a cure, offer guidance, or sometimes even perform a miraculous healing within the dream itself. There are countless inscriptions from ancient Greece testifying to these dream cures.
Wow. So across all these different cultures, different times, shamans, Aboriginals, Tibetans, Greeks, there's this like cross-cultural consensus.
Absolutely. A powerful consensus spanning millennia. The dreams aren't just random noise. They offer a genuine pathway to deeper truths, to healing, to realities beyond the purely physical world.
It's powerful seeing that consistency. It feels like more than just coincidence. Now, bridging that ancient wisdom to, well, the bleeding edge of modern science. It's intriguing how theories like quantum mechanics, even if used metaphorically, seem to offer a language for the sheer weirdness of dreams, right?
It is intriguing, isn't it? While many scientists remain skeptical about literal connections, quantum mechanics does provide some really powerful metaphors, maybe even more than metaphors, for describing dream phenomena that classical physics just can't handle.
Like what, for example?
Okay, take superposition. In quantum physics, particles can exist in multiple states or places simultaneously until measured.
Right, the cat in the box thing.
Kinda, yeah. Now think about dreams. How often do you experience multiple conflicting realities or identities at the same time? You might be a child again, back in your childhood home, but you also somehow know you're an adult with your current job responsibilities all jumbled together.
Oh, yeah, definitely have those.
That feeling resonates strongly with the idea of superposition. Or think about nonlinear time. Our waking life runs on clock time, linear progression.
A to B to C.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in dreams, time goes haywire. It can flow backwards, jump forwards, get stuck in loops. Minutes of real-world sleep can feel like hours or days of dream experience, or vice versa.
Totally. Dream time is elastic.
Right. And quantum physics views time not necessarily as a fixed linear progression, but potentially as a more complex probabilistic field. That quantum view provides a framework, a language, that feels much closer to describing that baffling, fragmented experience of time and dreams.
That makes so much sense of the time weirdness. What other quantum ideas map onto dreams?
Well, there's quantum tunneling. That's where a particle can essentially pass through an energy barrier it shouldn't classically be able to cross.
Like walking through walls.
Exactly like walking through walls, or flying, or instantly changing location, or defying gravity. All those surreal transitions we just accept in dreams feel analogous to tunneling. And then there's entanglement. Spooky action at a distance, right? Where two particles remain connected, influencing each other instantly, no matter how far apart they are.
Yeah.
Think about the abrupt, completely illogical jumps we make in dreams. Suddenly you're in a different country, or with a different group of people, or the whole scene just shifts instantaneously without any travel or logical progression. That non-local connection feels, metaphorically at least, like entanglement. Quantum physics offers this powerful vocabulary for the bizarre logic, or lack thereof, in the dreamscape.
It really does provide a fascinating lens. Now, you mentioned taking this even further, the really speculative stuff, the multiverse connection. How do dreams fit into that picture? Not just as a metaphor, but maybe literally.
Right, this is where we venture into the highly speculative but thought-provoking territory. Some modern theories, often on the fringes but gaining some traction in philosophical discussions, propose that dreams might be more than just parallels. They could be literal glimpses into alternate realities.
Oh, like actually seeing into another universe.
Or perhaps experiencing moments from the lives of other versions of ourselves in parallel universes, or even tapping into something like a collective unconscious that spans realities. Maybe even echoes of past lives, if you lean that way.
Okay, my mind is officially blown. But why? What makes anyone propose something so out there?
Well, proponents point to certain unexplained phenomena as potential evidence, though it's obviously unprovable currently. Take déjà vu, that weird, intense feeling that you've experienced this exact moment before.
Yeah, creepy feeling.
One speculative explanation is that it's not just faulty memory, but maybe your consciousness briefly accessing or recalling a memory trace from an alternate life or a parallel universe where that event did happen.
Huh,
Or
okay.
consider the Mandela effect, you
Yeah.
know, where large groups of people share a clear, specific memory of something that, according to historical records, never actually happened or happened differently.
Right, like movie lines or brand names being slightly off from what everyone swears they remember.
Exactly. One wild explanation floated is that it's a kind of glitch resulting from consciousness shifting between dimensions or universes, bringing residual memories from a slightly different timeline with it.
That is definitely out there. Fascinating, but hard to test. So, bringing it back down to earth a bit, what are some more, let's say, grounded modern theories about why we dream? Tying back maybe to the brain science we started with.
Absolutely. On a more established scientific footing, we have things like the threat simulation theory. This proposes that dreams serve a crucial evolutionary
You
purpose.
hope so.
They act as a kind of virtual reality simulator, a rehearsal stage, primarily for threatening situations. This could explain why so many dreams are anxious or involve being chased, attacked, following scenarios that would have been relevant to survival for our ancestors.
So practicing fight or flight in our sleep.
Kind of, yeah. By mentally rehearsing responses to threats in a safe offline environment, Our ancestors might have gained a small but significant evolutionary advantage when facing real dangers. Interestingly, the threats are often ancient ones, monsters, predators, not usually modern anxieties like credit card fraud or emails.
That fits the pattern. What else?
Well, tying back to our earlier discussion, there's the strong theory around memory consolidation and creative insight. As we said, dreams don't just replay memories, they actively fragment and reorganize them.
The purposeful fragmentation.
Right. And in doing so, the brain seems to be forging new, sometimes unexpected links between previously unrelated ideas or memories. This can lead to those aha moments, sudden insights, or creative breakthroughs that seem to come out of nowhere after sleeping on a problem. It's your brain making novel connections from seemingly disparate parts of your experience.
The brain's overnight creative workshop.
Precisely. And it's fascinating, isn't it, how all these fields, speculative physics, neuroscience, evolutionary psychology, they all end up relying heavily on metaphor, on analogy, to try and grasp the nature of dreams, and maybe even the nature of reality itself.
That's a beautiful observation, that reliance on metaphor. It really brings to mind another powerful analogy you mentioned, one found across different spiritual traditions. Dreams as mirrors of the soul. That feels like it could be a unifying thread here.
It absolutely feels like one.
Yeah.
You find this metaphor in traditions from Taoism to Sufism and beyond. The core idea is simple yet profound. Our dreams, much like mirrors, reflect the state of our inner self, our consciousness, our soul, whatever term you prefer.
So what you see in the dream reflects what's inside.
Exactly. The Sufi mystic Abd al-Qadir put it beautifully. He said the clarity of the reflection depends entirely on the cleanliness of the mirror's surface.
Cleanliness of the mirror, meaning the state of our mind.
Precisely. He suggested this inner mirror can be polished through spiritual practices, things like yoga, meditation, prayer, self-reflection, ethical living. These practices help clear away the dust and grime.
And the grime is?
Things like distracting or unhelpful thoughts, negative emotions, ego attachments, unresolved conflicts. A mind cluttered with this kind of stuff is like a tarnished, dirty mirror. And the result? Less luminous, more confused, or perhaps more disturbing dreams.
Whereas a polished mind leads to clearer dreams.
Or perhaps more insightful, peaceful, or even spiritually illuminating dreams. The reflection becomes clearer, truer to our deeper nature.
So the richness, the clarity, maybe even the nature of our dream life directly reflects our inner state, which implies that working on ourselves, doing that inner polishing, could actually open up a clearer connection to whatever deeper truths dreams might hold. That's a really powerful idea for personal growth. It brings everything full circle, doesn't it?
It really does. The human experience of dreaming truly sits at this incredible, perplexing intersection. Mm-hmm. You've got biological function, the brain doing its necessary work. You've got psychological processing, emotions, memories being sorted. And then you have this persistent sense across cultures and time of spiritual mystery.
Yeah.
Neuroscience shows us this amazingly active brain, processing memories, consolidating learning, sometimes entering these paradoxical states like lucidity that challenge our waking understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have thousands of these anecdotal reports of shared dreams seemingly defying physical laws, and centuries upon centuries of ancient practices affirming a deeper, possibly interconnected reality accessed through dreams.
So whether you lean towards dreams as quantum portals to the multiverse or as incredibly sophisticated internal rehearsal stages built by evolution or maybe mirrors reflecting our inner state, their enigmatic nature is just undeniable. It's a source of endless fascination.
It truly is.
And what seems clear, regardless of which theory resonates most, is that simply engaging with our dreams, paying attention, maybe trying to recall them, cultivating awareness, perhaps even exploring lucidity cautiously, that act itself seems to be a powerful tool, a tool for self-discovery, for understanding ourselves better, maybe even for personal growth.
Absolutely. And if we try to connect all these threads, maybe zoom out to the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Perhaps the true doorway we're seeking isn't some external mystical passage hidden within the dream state.
What then?
Perhaps the doorway is the very consciousness that gives rise to the dream in the first place. By simply treating our dreams not as discardable fluff, but as a valid, important part of our existence, maybe we're exploring not just the universe's external mysteries, but the most profound mystery of all. The seemingly infinite, limitless, and incredibly creative nature of the human mind itself.